Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hi, it's Nick. We had to move the podcast up today due to some last-minute scheduling conflicts. Kyle, don't worry. It looks like a rash. I'm sure it's fine. You can stop crying. Besides, I've always wanted to do a podcast on the fly, no preparation. I mean, what is this, college? College, that's funny. Never been to one of those thingies myself, unless you count the Toronto Technical Academy of Radio Broadcasting Studies and Lawn Maintenance Arts. Go Fighting Garden Gnomes. Shit, should have prepped. Anyway, because we're taping today before the sun is up, Gray is still on a daiquiri bender, and Rudy is still dreaming in binary code. So we broke the glass and pulled the in-case-of-emergency handle and brought in our two finest fill-ins, JB and J-Wrong. It's kind of like it's the bottom of the ninth. The bases are jacked, you're down by three, and the only pinch hitter left on the bench is the slap-hitting middle infielder from Japan, and not the good kind who's been in Japanese pornos. I mean, do we have an intern or something that could fill in? JB and J-Wrong are the best we could get on short notice. Should have prepped. Actually, it's awesome, because JB is taking us through five starting pitchers he's buying in the last half of the season, and J-Wrong just posted his top 100 keeper list, and I'm going to rip it to shreds like I drank too much Canadian Club and someone handed me a Husqvarna. All that plus, I'll have a teeny tiny note on what's happening with the football podcast this year. Don't worry, seam heads, it'll be quick, just like my college career. From the How to Handle the Ups and Downs of Pregnancy.com studio. What the fuck? Who's in charge of the studio sponsorship this week? That's what we got? Sweet mother of God, everybody's fucking fired. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of July 22nd. Here we go. That's what we said. All right, and now I am pleased to be joined by Big Biscuit, who got up bright and early. I mean, really, the sun is not shining here yet. So, JB, thanks for coming on this morning and pinch hitting for us.
Yeah, man. I made some biscuits early in the morning, some coffee. It was pretty fantastic. Just need some Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon. Just so you know, you guys call it Canadian bacon. We call it pea meal bacon.
I'll just call it awesome when I eat it.
Well played. Okay, so what we're going to discuss today, we've got, because you are our starting pitching guru, you do the breakdown, you do those great posts on actually breaking down a starter's starts. Say that five times fast. So today what I wanted to discuss with you was five starters that you're buying in the second half of the season. So let's start off right at the top. First guy you put on the list here is Mr. Rick Porcello. Talk to me about him, JB.
Love Rick Porcello. If you've been following my Monday comments on Gray's articles, you know I've been talking this guy for a couple months. Just a lot of interesting stuff in his numbers. You look at his ERA of 4.80 and his WHIP of 1.26. I mean, that's what you have been seeing from Porcello the past 4 years. But then you dig a little deeper, the K rate way up, the walk rate's actually down. If you believe in FIP, fielder independent pitching, when that's a big difference from your ERA, that tends to show you're a little unlucky and you're going to regress digress, some sort of progressing towards the FIP. And his FIP of 351, a full run, 1.3 runs less than his 480 ERA. And then his xFIP, which replaces your home run rate with the league average home run rate, all the way down to 306. So that has me really excited for a second half.
Okay, here's the new rule going forward. I'm not a college guy, as I discussed in the introduction. So Basically, ERA and WHIP is pretty much what my mathematically challenged mind can handle.
Well, I mean, you did have the public schooling up there. I mean, I guess I had public schooling too, but I guess it's better down here. I don't know what to tell you.
No, actually, I'm just kidding around. Did you do any post-secondary education? You a college man?
Yes, I am. I am a college graduate. I graduated with 2 degrees.
Oh, that's right. You went to movie school.
I did. I went to movie school, but I also got a business degree, so you have some numbers there.
Come on. So you should be down in Hollywood brokering, you know, big budget blockbusters.
But I hate dealing with the diva types like Gray. So,
all right, next guy you got on the list is a guy you've been talking up for the last 6 weeks, Corey Kluber.
Yeah, he's a guy I love. I picked him up after a couple good starts. I think I've had him since that rain-delayed start in Tampa Bay. That's 2 months ago. 3 straight great starts, high Ks. I know I can't get into the big numbers because I'll lose Nick over there. But just a good K rate. He's still technically a rookie. He has a little bit of a hip issue right now. Hopefully that'll be fine and sorted out. But it's a good division to pitch in when he's not pitching against the Tigers. Love the fastball velocity. It's got a great cutter. We've seen pitchers like that have success. I think he continues it in the second half.
I just like saying the Klub.
The Klub, yeah. Hopefully he'll stay strong and you won't have to shave your Klub.
You've been saving that one.
That actually just came to me, but it sounded good.
Well done. Next up in the rotation, you got a guy that, look, 5-6 years ago, Scott Kazmir was phenomenal. And now it's, Kazmir's coming back. But talk to me about why you got Scotty Kaz, number 3 overall.
Yeah, try like 7 or 8 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long. His only good year was pretty much 2007, so that's 6 years ago. So, yeah, you're about right. But what I really like about him is the average fastball velocity. It's actually the highest it's been since 2005, which is really hard to believe, especially since he was out of baseball for 3 years. You'd think he'd be coming back just kind of looting him up like Eric Bedard, but he's actually got good velocity there. Had a little bit of struggles early in the year, but I think he will be, you know, pretty successful. You don't like him just like Kluber in the Detroit starts, but everyone else in that division, you might have the White Sox without Rios pretty soon. I mean, those are pretty good teams to pitch against.
Yeah, the White Sox don't have Rios any day of the week. So occasionally someone fills in for him and hits a home run, but the actual Alex Rios, he's one of those fake players. He's not really there.
Yeah, well, he's about to really not be there, so about to be on someone else.
Okay, so there's certain players you'll never see on my roster, and it's not that they're not great players, or even in a draft, if there's good value, I'll still pass over them because there's something about them that I just don't get. So I have missed out on all the Matt Cain goodness the last, 4 or 5 years. Matt Cain hasn't pitched well this year. Last couple months have been awful, but you're projecting a turnaround. Talk to me.
I am. I am actually right in the same boat with you. I don't have Matt Cain on any teams, so maybe that is taking some of that sour taste out of my mouth from this horrible first half. But a lot of people are talking about dropping this guy, what kind of value he has. You can get him for pretty much anything, and all his underlying numbers tell me that I think he'll be fine. The home run rate, yeah, it's way up, but I think that regresses a little bit. His K rate looks fine. He's walking a little bit too much, but what I'm really interested in is his left on base. Last year, 79% left on base. This year, all the way down to 64%. I think he's just getting a little bit unlucky, not stranding runners. All those numbers I gave with the xFIP and FIPs, those are all much lower. I think he can be a sub-4 ERA, strike out a guy in per nine in the second half, be really solid for you.
All right, and then the fifth guy in the rotation here scares me a little bit. A, he's a rookie. B, he pitches in arguably one of the most difficult parks to keep the ball in, Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, I buy him to keep it up. The home run rate is at 7%. That could go up a tiny bit, but, I mean, he's just got such good stuff. I've watched a lot of his starts. His slider is unreal. It's hard to tee off on it. He doesn't hang very many of them. His fastball velocity and slider velocity both up a full mile per hour from last year, and he pitched over 100 innings last year, so that's still pretty pretty significant. And since he's doing that in a starter's role, I think he can keep this up. I wouldn't try to sell him afraid of the innings or anything like that. I think he pitches for most of the rest of the year.
Okay, good stuff. I'm going to throw a couple quick curveballs at you here. I won't get into the details of the trade, but in one league where I'm really trying, I have a chance, it's a keeper league, I've got a really good shot to win this year, or at least, you know, place. My pitching's been terrible. Actually, my ratios have been pretty good, but I'm about 200 innings behind everybody else, and my hitting's been great. So I won't go into the trade details, but in the last week in that league, I acquired Darvish, Matt Moore, and Sabathia. Did I do, aside from the trades, did I do good? Did I not do good?
I think you did well. I buy more for what he's doing. You got to just hope that Darvish is fine with this trapezius injury. I've actually worn out my trapezius before, and it took a couple months. So, I mean, it's obviously going to be different for everyone, but if he's fine with that, that's fine. I just really don't like Sabathia versus teams in that division, and we saw it again last night. So, he's the only iffy one for me.
What's a trapezius?
It's your...
Is that Cirque du Soleil?
It's what connects your neck muscle to your back muscle.
Isn't that a trapezius?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay. That's what you said.
I just didn't say it in a Canadian accent, sorry. I know you free clinics up there probably wouldn't have got it, but I'll just get my paid health care down here.
And what about Sabathia? I'm just hoping that eventually he might pick up 6 or 7 wins in the second half.
Yeah, just like I said, I don't like him against teams in that division. We've seen the Orioles hit him really well. Obviously, he's not good in Fenway. We saw that last night. Don't like him against the Blue Jays. The Rays, for some reason, seem to tee off on him. And that's one reason I sold him. I actually traded him straight up for Carl Crawford, which... a month ago, it looks pretty bad right now because Crawford's been on the DL, but Sabathia would have been ruining my ratios, so I'm fine with it.
All right, buddy. Listen, JB, thanks for joining us with this. Why don't you come on back in a couple minutes, and we'll chit-chat about DraftKings.
I'll think about it. I'll have to talk with my agent, but I think we can make it work.
Well, your mom and I worked it out last time.
Oh, low blow. My mom told me she doesn't date Canadians anymore, so I don't believe you.
What are you talking about? I was just saying she represents you in negotiations. Dude, oh, man.
Oh, I thought you were making some sort of mom joke, like a T-hole joke. I don't know.
Yeah, I was, but I wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to back out of it because I Canadian bashed. Okay.
My son wants 3 biscuits per episode.
I don't understand what just happened there.
Nothing like a good podcast early in the morning. Baseball.
Housekeeping.
Okay, Seamheads, I'll just do this real quick. If you do play football, the podcast season is going to kick off the week of August the 12th. We're going to have 3 or 4 preview episodes, and then we'll have a weekly football episode to keep you in touch. We're going to have some of our baseball contributors who work both sides of the fence, and we're also going to have a couple great guys like Sky, the editor over at the football side, will be involved. We're going to get Murph in, so we got some real hardcore football guys, real hardcore leather and lace guys. So definitely pay attention to that. Of course, go to rasball.com, click on football. We'll be podcasting. They'll be posting. It is, if you're playing fantasy football and you're not following Sky and Murph, you're making a mistake.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. JB, thanks for coming back to help us out with the Daily Fantasy Report. How did you do last week in the big Midsummer Classic?
Well, I wasn't in it because I didn't win a ticket, and it's a good thing because I would have finished real close to the money, but just out. So I picked up a lot of good players, but just the big bats of Prince Fielder and Giancarlo Stanton. It was a big hit for my team. Both of them didn't get any points. Stanton actually hit one to the warning track in Miller Park, but didn't leave the park, so that was a close one, but... would have finished with 112.7. That's a pretty good week for a DraftKings lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a lot of fun watching the Midsummer Classic. There was a lot of tweeting going on. Pretty exciting when you see a guy win. Actually, the guy that we were tweeting with finished second and won 50 grand. I mean, that's how you start a weekend. What would you do if I gave you 50 grand today, JB? I mean, you got to hop on a plane to Vegas or something, right?
Yeah, probably. Vegas sounds good. I might go there, blow a bunch of it, and come back and then try to win the next sweet spot challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is another great challenge coming up, and it is the $100,000 sweet spot challenge, $20,000 to the winner. You definitely are going to have opportunities to win tickets to that when you play with the Rudy from Razzball contest, which again is every Friday night at DraftKings.com. On Wednesday, my man Big Biscuit here, JB, will post what he likes coming up for Friday, and in there is a link. This contest, again, is just for Razzballers, so it's only for Razzball Nation. Real tight contest. It's a money loser for DraftKings. They do it for us because they love us, but it's a great opportunity not just to win some cash, get to know your daily fantasy, but also as well get tickets to the big plays like the sweet spot. You like anyone coming up this Friday, JB?
Yeah, I do. I actually like Zach Greinke. I know he's been a little bit of a struggling pitcher this year, and you see him pitching against Cincinnati, and your gut reaction is, But he actually has pitched really well against the Reds while he was a teammate of the Brewers. He actually has an ERA under 2 and a WHIP under 1 in 5 starts with 40 strikeouts and 33 innings against them in 2011 and 12. Hasn't faced them this year, but he will be at Kauffman Stadium. So, I mean, that's a good pitcher's park to pitch in. I think he can actually be pretty solid. He's kind of turning his season around a little bit. I think he might be a good value pitcher.
Very interesting. Hey, we're also going to be hanging out with the DraftKings guys during football season. So I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the football podcast kickoff the week of August the 12th. So there's going to be lots of stuff we're going to be doing there. And it's going to be a lot of fun, too. Man, I love this daily fantasy stuff, JB.
Yeah, me too. We're excited to do it for football. I've actually gotten in the money every time except for once in the Razzball contest with Rudy, so I'm doing better than Rudy. but it's been a lot of fun. I still haven't won the number one spot yet, so I'm hoping to do that to get into the big challenge coming up in mid-August.
Good stuff. If you ever have daily fantasy questions, tweet my man at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. He is the guy to talk to for your fantasy, definitely for daily. But also, if you just want to interact with part of the Razzball crew, JB's a great guy to tweet up with because he's really current. He knows what's going on. So there you go, JB. Does that make up for the mom comment in the earlier segment?
Yeah, if you want some, you know, got any life questions, want to enjoy some Canadian bashing, tweet me anytime.
Thanks, JB. Talk to you. Actually, I'll see you Friday at the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest.
Yeah, man. Good luck to you. Hopefully, we'll both be 1-2 vying for that last spot.
Later. Keepers. All right, let's talk keepers with Jay Wrong. Jay Wrong, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast, and thanks for filling in this pre-dawn edition.
No problem. I hope I can fit into the mustache shadow that was left by Gray's absence. Quite large, like a blimp.
It's huge, Jay. It's huge.
It's early. It's early, man. I don't know. I mean, I understand that we're on East Coast, and this technically isn't early, but as you know, I have a West Coast origination story, and two things I miss. One is the time zone. I really miss the time zone. The second is the weather. Because, you have JB on. And I'm going to go on a little tangent here because I tell you what.
Do it.
In Virginia, everyone here always tells me there are four seasons. No, it's Alaska and Fire Swamp. That's it. Two seasons. That's all we have.
So you're from California originally?
Yeah, San Diego. Well, obviously, you know, I'm sure everyone knows my love for the Padres, my unabashed love for the Padres. So, the weather there, obviously, the only thing that competes with it is probably Maui. So
how did you trade San Diego for Alexandria?
Yeah, you know, that's a question I ask myself every day. I haven't quite answered it yet. I don't know why I moved from the best weather in America, fine women, to a freaking swamp. I haven't figured it out yet. So,
hey, Jay.
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you another question before we get into your top 100 keeper list, which is very interesting.
Yes.
Did you go to college at all?
Yes.
What'd you take?
English Lit. Yeah, proud alum. Yeah, proud alum at Seattle University. So,
which university?
Seattle University. It's a Jesuit institution up in the Northwest. It's right in the middle of downtown, which is nice. But yeah.
So you're saying if you can't get into Washington or Washington State or Eastern Washington or the Tacoma Institute of Technology?
That's all I'll say. Hey, you know, I took whatever get. Hey, I have a degree though, so there's that. I mean, well, hope it's worth.
Well, listen, you have the degree, and you're the guest, and I'm the radio school dropout, and I'm the host.
Yes.
So, whatever metrics that means.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah. Well,
I'm kidding. We were talking about colleges earlier today, that's why, so not to put you on the spot.
I see, okay.
No, well, in the intro, you'll have to listen, and everything will kind of come together. Okay, so one thing that I love to do is I love keepers. And in fact, I'm actually going to do one quick plug here for football. I did a mock dynasty keeper for football. I think it's not a dynasty keeper.
I would.
I did a mock dynasty draft, and Murph from the football side is going to tear it apart, and we're going to post that on Tuesday over on football. So you want to check that out. But for me personally, I play keepers and I play dynasties. Redraft leagues for me are fun, but I love the long-term strategy. For me, it's all about, this is a stock market game. Well, at least that's what I keep telling myself and my wife and my mom. Hey, one day I'll actually make some money off this because I'm really training myself to be good at the stock market, right? But that's what this game is. It's a, buy low, sell high type of game. And keepers to me is the only way to play. Excuse me. So I got really excited when I saw, I was actually at the Blue Jays game on Saturday. It was Expos Day at the Blue Jays game. And lo and behold, I get this tweet and it's like, hey, check out my top 100 keepers. And that got me excited. So I went through it. There's some good stuff there and there's some stuff that blew my mind and said, you know what? This guy needs to be medicated. First off, you got Braun at number 3. Are there no, let's just say, I'm going to say this right. Let's just say Braun was hypothetically on something, and now he's not on something anymore. Are you not concerned having Ryan Braun number 3?
Well, it goes to the point where maybe my personal analysis of steroids is that I'm not totally convinced it really does help a player. I mean, I'm sure it helps with the strength, but what about mobility? Things like that. If it's HGH that he's taking, that thing, I think it just helps players.
Whoa. He's not taking anything. We're just having a hypothetical conversation.
Right. Hypothetically, then, something like that doesn't really worry me, especially when you're thinking long-term. I'm not sure if the stuff that these players use actually helps them by more than a marginal amount. I think maybe there's a lot of information we don't know about it. So when it comes to terms with Braun, it's the numbers that he can put up. When you see a player that can do 30 and 20, and it's still relatively young, I mean, that's a top 5 player. Not many guys can do that. I can count on the left side of my hand the amount of guys that can do that in this, hitting environment. So I still believe in Braun. He might miss some time, obviously, if the MLB brings the hammer. But again, with a keeper list, the methodology is, you don't have the common denominator of 162 games. You have to deal with the fact that you're going to own a player from, let's say, 3 to 5 years. So it is the value long-term still there, and I think it is with Braun.
Okay, fair enough. By the way, just to preface this, we are talking guys for 2014 to 2016, so the next 3 years after this one. Next guy.
That's right. And, current value is there too, a little bit, since we only have half a season. But, we have to assume that people who read this list are drafting for now and later.
Okay. So. Next guy that I wasn't crazy about where he was ranked was Matt Kemp at number 9. And I understand that Matt Kemp just oozes all kind of fantasy baseball sexiness. But the guy's always injured, and to me, he looks like he's going to be one of those guys that had that one mind-blowing year, and then you're lucky if he plays 120 games and gives you 20 home runs.
I would agree with you. I have a dirty secret. When I first was formulating this list, I was, Gray and I were going a little bit back and forth, and we were talking with each other about our list, and he actually mentioned not to forget some players, and I re-looked at my list, and I realized when I made my list, Matt Kemp wasn't even on it. So I was like, wow. I really, personally, I'm not a big fan of Kemp, but when you look at his career line, he was healthy from 2008 to 2011. That's a large amount of health that he has there. I mean, the last couple of years have been kind of off and on, but I'd like to think shoulder injuries maybe aren't chronic yet for him. And again, like Braun, he's a guy who got close to 40-40. He can do 30-30 quite easily if you get him one of those years. So that alone, I think, keeps him in the top 10 because, with keeper leagues, you want production in multiple categories when you're looking at your top 100. You want to kill as many birds with whatever stone you have. You know, you want like the rapid fire Contra stone. You know, so I think when Kemp is on, he's a top 3 player.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know the code. So yeah, suffice to say, I still like what he can do, the projections I like, so I think he still deserves to be a top 10 guy.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, beat, ace, select, start.
Not like Tecmo Super Bowl. Like, if you play Tecmo Super Bowl now, it's still just as awesome.
You know, I went back and played Contra recently online. I'm like, oh, I should check out Contra. It was, like, my favorite game. Man, it was terrible.
Yeah, you can still do that. They haven't fixed that. You know, if you get it on the Xbox, you can run all the way back to the one-yard line and just freaking launch it, you know?
Really, eh? Okay, next guy on the list. Look, I love Matt Harvey. I think he's pretty interesting. I think because he's out of New York, he's probably a little too hyped. My issue is not where you have Matt Harvey. My issue is you have Matt Harvey ahead of Adam Wainwright, who, in my mind, Tommy John surgery aside, has been over the last 5 years one of the most consistent pitchers, logs innings, whip is minuscule, racks Ks. How do you have Harvey ahead of Wainwright?
Yeah, this is where the rankings get dicey because, you know, when you have to weigh age, I have to weigh age, so I have to make these difficult decisions. And I like Wainwright. He's, you know, if you look at the pitcher rankings on my list, you know, separate from the whole rankings as a whole, Wainwright's right behind Harvey. I just like Harvey because of the age. You know, when you watch him this year, we have a full season of data now, including last year. If you look at him, his FIP is actually lower than his ERA, and his ERA is like 2. I mean, that's ridiculous. I just, you know, he's an ace. He strike out to everyone. He doesn't walk anyone. He's got that wicked fastball. I think Harvey long term, I think he's in the right place. I really believe that.
I just need to see more. I'm not saying you might not be right, but give me the Wainwright. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a flip of the coin with strategy. Like, a lot of people with keeper leagues, they like going for the immediate value, plus long-term, because it's not like Wainwright's old or anything. But I can see a guy taking Harvey that high just because, you know, the age, the youth, the fact that he's already dominating. I mean, you know, they're not that far apart, obviously. They're right next to each other. And if you're going to argue with me that Wainwright's better than Harvey, I can't argue that. You know, I think they're the same to me, but Harvey gets a little more value because of the age.
And one thing that I always look at when it comes to keeper, or if I was drafting in a keeper league today, which is kind of what this list is for, I would take young, high upside bats, no question. You know, give me guys 21, 22, grabbing those guys like candy. But I would want a couple of, especially at the top, really established pitchers. Because even if I'm getting a guy who's 29 or 30, like let's just say a Wainwright, I know he's going to soak up innings. I don't have to worry about my ratios going forward. And not that Harvey couldn't be great, but especially with pitching, give me some stable guys. That's just where I'm coming from on that. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, one more thing about Harvey really quick. I just want to say it made me realize the fact that Clayton Kershaw is a beast because Clayton Kershaw is only 1 year older than Harvey. I didn't even realize that until I did this list.
Plus, Kershaw is a southpaw, plays at Dodger Stadium against that weak NL West, all those great pitcher parks. You know, if it's today, I'm taking Kershaw number one. Like, he's at the top of my list. I should do a list, just for fun.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Here's what we might do. I'm going to throw this out. Maybe we'll do a mock Dynasty Baseball draft between some of the writers, just for fun.
Oh, yeah, we should do that, definitely.
All right. Yeah, that sounds like a, we should totally do that. Let's Facebook me.
We'll make Sky do all the work, yeah.
Next guy on the list. And this probably of anybody you had anywhere blew my frickin' mind. You have Josh Donaldson at 43. That's mid-second round. Okay, mid-second round. Even Josh Donaldson's mom doesn't know who Josh Donaldson is.
Yeah, there are a couple of reasons for this. Number one, I saw, you know, before.
I'd love to hear them. He's your cousin?
Yeah, right. I wish, you know, it'd be nice to have a little baseball bloodline. But I looked at it this way. Before Chase Headley's injury, Chase Headley was a guy who last year put up a 30-20, close to 20. And he was projected to go second, third round. And obviously he got the injury, so he moved back to the fourth and fifth round, hasn't had quite a good year. So I started that with Josh Donaldson, I looked at what he's projected to do this year, which is, you know, completely out of the norm. Let's just say that. And so when you see a player do something out of the norm, you look for evidence. My way of looking for that is batted ball distance. How far is he hitting the ball? If it correlates with his home run fly ball. And then I look at his play discipline. So really quick with Donaldson, he's only hitting the ball 10 feet more this year, which, you know, isn't out of the realm. You know, it means that it isn't fluky the way he's doing it. His home run fly ball percentage is only a little bit above league average. I think league average is around 14%. I think he's around 16%, which is, again, pretty normal. And then you look at his play discipline, he's swinging less, and he's swinging at fewer pitches outside. So he's improved his play discipline. So all these things for a power hitter, and you take in the fact that he plays third base. So I'm assuming it's sustainable. I'm assuming that he's going to put up a 30 spot on home runs from the third base position, which, you know, in keeper leagues, we're dealing with deeper leagues, most of the case, you know, 12 teams, 20 teams, NL only, AL only, things like that. So positional scarcity means a lot. So all those factor in, and the fact that he's still 27, that pushes him, to me, in the top 50. So
you make too many assumptions.
Can I convince you? I mean, I'm dealing with facts here, Nick. Come on.
Yeah, facts. Listen, anyone can twist numbers any which way, make your argument. Okay, another guy, too, who's a crafty, handy player. I like him in Yahoo. He's got multiple eligibility. He's been, again, a handy player this year, one of those useful guys that at the end of the year, kind of like, and I know it's a different kind of skill set, but kind of like a Martin Prado. You know what? You're glad you drafted him. He helped you out. But Kyle Seager at number 54, and I understand you have to factor in age, but Kyle Seager at 54 ahead of Albert Pujols, Adrian Gonzalez, Carlos Gomez. Explain.
Yeah, you know, it bleeds over a little bit from Donaldson because of the positional scarcity, the age. But, you know, when I looked at Kyle Seager's page, I originally didn't have him ranked this high, but I looked at his numbers. And last year he put up a 20-10. You know, he gave you 20 home runs, 10 stolen bases. And this year he isn't stealing as much, but he's on pace to get 25 home runs again. But he's brought his average up. Contact looks good. And he's not that far off from a David Wright type of season. So when you see David Wright getting drafted early in the round, and, you know, you see Kyle Seager doing this in a sneaky ninja fashion, you know, he's going Batman all over us or whatever, he's, you know, it's really kind of good production when you sit down and just look at it. And you mentioned the multi-positional, you know, eligibility, which helped. But, again, you know, it's kind of bleeds over from Donaldson. That's kind of why I have him ranked. He's outside the top 50, but with guys like Pujols and Agon, they're kind of aging corners. I'm not sure how much future value you'll get from them. I had trouble ranking Pujols, actually, because I don't know what to think of the guy. I mean, he's either injured, old, or just, you know. But I think there's still 30 home run power there. Carlos Gomez, really quick. I know JB is going to hurt me on this one, but I need a little more. I need a little more from him. He's on the list. Obviously, he's not that far off, but I want one more solid season of, you know, BABIP stability, because I'm not quite sure he's a 280 guy. I still see him as a 240 hitter. So
okay, and I don't want to. We're done with Seager and Donaldson, but it was also interesting to me that you had both of those guys ahead of Profar, Truex and Profar.
Yeah, that's not going to last too much longer, Nick. I can tell you that. I mean, I felt uncomfortable putting Profar ranked. You know, I felt uncomfortable putting him so high because, you know, he hasn't gotten the playing time yet. He hasn't really hit right off the bat. I just want to see him start playing to his scouting report. But he's a guy who can move real fast, obviously, for the position.
Okay. Next two guys that I think are both low, especially if we're talking Donaldson and Seager where they are. Not to pick on those guys, but just to give the listeners a jumping off point. Dominic Brown at 76 and Austin Jackson at 79. Especially Brown, because I really feel he's broken out.
Yeah, you know what? I love the opportunity to talk about Brown because this is my red alert, my Star Trek red alert for everyone. I was looking at his player page and I was doing this list, and his distance, you know, we talked about it earlier with Donaldson. His home run his fly ball distance is around league average. You know, I think it's around 275 feet or whatever. Now, that may not mean much, but for the fact that his home run and fly ball rate is close to double the league average. So he has power, no doubt, but what he's been doing is pretty darn fluky. So if you assume that he were to keep a home run fly ball rate, let's say, of 16%, which is a little above, you know, the league average, he would be on pace for a 24 home run season total. You know, that's total this year. So when I looked further at his sheet, I looked at his home run, you know, the home run tracker at ESPN or whatever. They classify that 8 of his 21 home runs are classified as just as enough. So that's like within 10 feet of the wall. So while the power's there, I'm really thinking he's going to have a rough second half or a rough next season. And so I want to see a little more data from him. I kind of got scared from what I saw. With Jackson, I love Jackson. You know, we talked about him, I think, on a podcast earlier this year, how much I love him. But the fact remains, when you look at his sheet, he's an outfielder who might give you 10-10 with a .280 average right now. I mean, he might improve upon that. This year he's been struggling with hamstring issues, but right now, 10-10, .280, that's not enough to get him higher on my list.
When I hear hamstrings, I think of pulled pork. Is that just me?
Yeah, I mean, pork. You just ended my life. I love pork.
All right, let me throw one last one at you, okay? You've got Eric Hosmer, 52, and Freddie Freeman, 84. Should that not be reversed?
Yeah. You know, I was surprised. I thought I was going to get a little, you know, nerd rage, or I guess in this case, baseball rage from Atlanta fans on the Freeman ranking. The thing is, Freddie Freeman to me has never been anything special. He's a guy who hits .280 with 20 home runs, if we're lucky, at the first base position. Now, he's young, I'll give him that, but if you look at the scouting reports, his career arc, he's not going to get much better. This is his ceiling right now. I guess what he's doing this season is probably a ceiling, because it looks like he's about to pump out 25 now. Those numbers, I'm not sure, are that special at first base. And with Hosmer, I think there's a little more projectability. Now, I'm going to get in trouble with Hosmer because I'm not sure if that's going to work out. I like what he's been doing lately. I looked at his numbers. He's hitting less ground balls. He's finally figured out that to hit a home run, you don't put it into the ground. Amazing. I know. But he, at Hosmer, if he meets his potential, which, you know, regretfully I still believe in for some reason, he's a 30-15 guy, or at the very least, a 25-15 guy. And you know what guy I projected to put up those numbers to? It's Goldschmidt, you know, and he's ranked fairly high on my list. So that's kind of where I see the difference between them.
One quick point to that, and I didn't bring up Goldschmidt. I think you have him 7th, if I'm not mistaken. One, he hits at, you know, I'm spacing on the name, but he hits at the park in Phoenix. What is that? Bank One's Philadelphia. Anytime, J. Ron, help me out here.
Yeah, it's the one with the pool.
No, okay. but also, Kansas City, as much as they've drafted talent, I keep seeing here a track record of them not developing it. And that's the concern for me.
Yeah, you know, what's funny, too, is they draft crazily from their backyard nowadays because they're still angry that they missed out on Pujols. Because apparently Pujols, you know, is from Kansas. He was at a Kansas school, I guess. They scouted him, and they were going to take
him. Yeah, he was at a JUCO.
Right, and they completely whiffed. So now in the background, you'll just see him, like, basically farm out everyone from their area. I don't know if that's going to succeed, but, you know, there's only one Pujols. I don't know what kind of strategy that is, but I could go on about the front office.
I think he actually played at the Kansas City Institute of Technical Barbecue Sauce Making.
Right. So, I mean, I don't have too much faith in their front office. I know other people like their front office scouting ability, but, you know, when you get a Will Myers, you build him up and then you trade him for a guy and you're not even competing. You know, I mean, I don't know what that says about you.
For me, it's the listen, they're scouting. I think they're drafting talent. I don't think they're developing it. I think that's the difference. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you could be Baltimore and just, you know, Hitchcock all your freaking pitchers. So, you know.
Jay, thanks for pinch hitting early this morning. This was great. You can always follow my man at Jay Rong. Very funny guy. We expect some more gifts from you in the near future. Okay?
No problem.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. Take care.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Razzball Baseball Podcast. We will be back next week. We will probably have Gray and Rudy. We'll talk to you then.
Razzball Podcast. darling, what's your opinion? Said I'm already on Moises. You're my Venus self, just like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.